Discernment is the process of wrestling with and seeking clarity on the driving and animating questions of our lives. Questions like, who am I? What are my unique gifts and talents? What have I been called to do? What is my raison d'etre or my reason for being?
That's the Reverend Ernest Brooks, and today he brings you an inspiring message entitled Disruptions, Detours, and Discernment. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. We're honored to welcome for this final Sunday of the year, the Reverend Ernest A. Brooks III, president of the Academy of Preachers based in Lexington, Kentucky. Ernest became president and CEO of the Academy in July of 2017. An ordained Baptist minister, he previously served as senior pastor of the Mount Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church of Williamston, North Carolina, and Assistant Dean of the Martin Luther King Jr. International Chapel at Morehouse College in Atlanta. Ernest earned his Bachelor's in Religion from Morehouse, his Master of Divinity from Duke Divinity School, and a Master of Arts with a concentration in Religion, Ethics, and Culture from the University of Chicago Divinity School. Ernest, welcome to Day One. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Peter. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you as well.
You took the reins of this wonderful organization just a year and a half ago from its founder, the Reverend Dr. Dwight Moody. First, remind our listeners about the purpose and activities of the Academy.
So the Academy of Preachers, we're now celebrating our 10th year. This is our 10th anniversary National Festival of Young Preachers coming up just in a couple of days here. And our mission is to identify, support, network, and inspire young people in their call to gospel preaching. We work with young people all across the country from a variety of backgrounds, college students, seminarians, those early in their pastoral careers, to help them identify themselves as ministers and to develop themselves on their paths to discernment in Christian ministry.
So what are some of the challenges, joys, and lessons you've experienced since becoming president?
Sure. Leading a distributed organization is a joy, to be able to travel around the country, to get to know the constituency, to meet new people, to build new partnerships is a joy. It's also tiring at times. Mm-hmm. You're constantly running from one place to another, from one environment to another, but that is the joy of such a diverse and broadly ecumenical organization. I love meeting people from a wide variety of backgrounds on any given day.
Well, you mentioned this year's National Festival of Young Preachers. It begins January 2nd and through the 5th here in Atlanta. So what's going to happen there?
So our National Festival of Young Preachers is an annual event that is always the first week in January, that is 3.5 days of about 150 young preachers from high school students, college students, seminarians, early career ministers coming together to meet one another, to share in the joys of preaching, to hear one another preach, and then to receive evaluation and feedback from seasoned clergy and homileticians as they support one another on this shared journey of ministry. We're excited about all of the many programs and opportunities that we'll be having here in Atlanta. We have preaching studios where each young person comes in and preaches a 15-minute sermon on our theme, the gospel and the world. And then those young people are given feedback from our mentors and clergy that are supporting and journeying with them. We will have a gospel slam, which is an opportunity for the young preachers to come together and to experience preaching in different styles and venues. And so we'll have preaching through spoken word. We'll have preaching through the arts and drama. And so we're trying to redefine and expand the definitions of preaching, both in the pulpit and through other forms of expression and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll also have our 10th anniversary Preach-a-Palooza Gala, where we'll celebrate 10 years of mission and ministry, not just with the young preachers who are present at this year's festival, but we're also inviting young preachers, mentors, institutional partners who've been a part of this Academy of Preachers movement for the past 10 years to come back with us to celebrate what God has done in this ministry.
Mm. So say more about this year's theme and how that will play out in their sermons.
So each year, the National Festival of Young Preachers has a guiding theme that guides both our programming and the sermons that the young preachers preach. This year's theme is the gospel and the world. And given all that's going on in our world, the divisions and challenges, as well as the blessings and joys, the rapid growth of interconnectivity and global travel and communication, we thought it important to center our engagement and our preaching around the global nature of the gospel. Mm. And so we have given our young preachers a preaching guide that offers wide latitude in how they approach this topic. Mm-hmm. Some may approach it from the perspective of missions and evangelism. Others may approach it from issues of diversity and multiculturalism. Mm-hmm. Others may talk about the global witness historically of the church and our need to revive that. And so it's a broad topic, and I'm excited to hear all of the creative ways our young preachers will approach it.
Mm-hmm. And you personally have had a long history with the organization, but you almost missed the opportunity. Tell us what happened, how you got involved.
So the Academy of Preachers held our first National Festival of Young Preachers in January 2010 in Louisville, Kentucky. At that time, I had just been called and installed as the pastor of my home congregation, the Mount Shiloh Church in Williamston, North Carolina, when I got a call from my mentor, the dean of the chapel at Morehouse College, Dean Lawrence Carter, telling me about this wonderful new organization and event that I had to be a part of. And he was putting together a group of Morehouse students and alums and wanted a strong showing of at least 10 young ministers from Morehouse to journey to this festival. Unfortunately, I couldn't make the first festival given the demands of the pastoral life. However, after that festival, all of my friends and colleagues who attended started telling me about how wonderful it was and what an amazing experience it was. And I promised myself right then that I would not miss the next festival. And so January 2011, I traveled from Williamston, North Carolina to Louisville, Kentucky, and I've been active in the Academy of Preachers movement ever since.
Wonderful. One of the things that I think is incredibly powerful is that the young preachers representing the entire range of Christian denominations and churches will be participating, and it gives them all the opportunity to experience a rich diversity of approaches to preaching. In this divided and even tribal society, that's important, isn't it?
It is very important. So much of our lives, and particularly our formation and preparation for professional careers, whether it's ministry or in other sectors, often happen in silos. Mm-hmm. We tend to be drawn to organizations and institutions that are a part of our natural networks, where people look like us, they think like us, they believe like us. And so we find it important at the Academy of Preachers to provide a space for people to come together, not to convince one another of their beliefs or backgrounds or try to persuade one another, but to come together out of this broad diversity of Christian mm-hmm. experience, united by the shared passion for preaching and sharing the gospel, however that's defined in their context.
And for more information about the Academy of Preachers or the National Festival of Young Preachers, our listeners can visit your website.
Yes, www.academyofpreachers.net. They can also find us on Facebook and Instagram, as well as sign up for our weekly e-newsletter.
Excellent. Ernest, your sermon today is based on the gospel lesson for the first Sunday after Christmas. It's Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Would you read it for us?
Certainly. Now every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, Your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. He said to them, Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor.
We look forward to hearing your message on this intriguing story. It's entitled Disruptions, Detours, and Discernment. Ernest, thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Peter. We are presented here a story that is unique among the canonical Gospels, appearing only in the Gospel according to Luke. The introductory verses of the first chapter indicate that the author penned this Gospel with the intention of sifting through the many Jesus stories circulating in the community that had been passed down from those who identified themselves as eyewitnesses and servants of the Word. The objective was to construct an orderly account for the faithful whom he identifies as friends or lovers of God. After providing a rich account of the events prefiguring and surrounding Jesus' conception and birth, Luke's gospel focuses intently on the recurring roles of the city of Jerusalem, the festival of the Passover, and the Jerusalem temple complex in Jesus' life story. It was at the temple in Jerusalem that Simeon and Anna prophesied over the baby Jesus that he would be destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and that he would be integral to the redemption of Israel. The only window into Jesus' life that Luke provides between infancy and age 12 is a seeming aside that the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This statement may seem cursory at first glance. However, it is actually laden with purpose and intention. While the pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover was an annual ritual for Jesus and his family, this particular pilgrimage was an especially pivotal event in Jesus' process of maturation and formation. At the age of 12, Jesus was transitioning from childhood to adolescence. He was receiving more rigorous instruction in Jewish law and traditions, and he was moving from a dependent relationship with his parents to one marked by interdependence and even flashes of radical independence. In essence, Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph, the carpenter from Nazareth, was one step closer to actualizing his destiny as Jesus, the rabbi, the rabble-rouser, the faith healer, the Messiah, the martyr, the Son of God, and the Savior of the world. It is at this paradigm-shifting moment, fortified by the strength, wisdom, and favor of his formative years, that we find the adolescent Jesus in the Jerusalem temple among the religious leaders and teachers of his day. While his parents are well on their way back home to Nazareth, believing their gifted and precocious son to be somewhere holding court among the larger group of pilgrims in their caravan, not staying behind in the Jerusalem temple with the Jewish elite, the teachers, and the leaders of their day. While the gospel narrative doesn't give us much of a window into Jesus' childhood, I suspect that this was not the first of such experiences that Mary and Joseph had with their child of promise. Yes, he may have been the apple of their eyes, the one given to them by God, the one whose future was prophesied about even before birth. But I suspect that even as a child, Jesus' parents knew that he marched to the beat of a different drum. The 12-year-old Jesus in this narrative may not have violated the letter of the commandment to honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. But he certainly pushed the spirit of this divine command to its limits. I submit that Mary and Joseph's experience with the idealistically independent and creatively curious Jesus in this thrilling childhood drama is really a grace-filled window into the disruptions and detours that are part and parcel of the process that we have come to know as discernment. Discernment in this context is the process of wrestling with and seeking clarity on the driving and animating questions of our lives. Questions like, who am I? What are my unique gifts and talents? What have I been called to do? What is my raison d'etre or my reason for being? These disruptions and detours along the path of discernment are particularly acute for those who are wrestling with what we in the Christian tradition have termed a sense of call. Furthermore, while we traditionally associate processes of vocational and identity discernment with the formative periods of youth and young adulthood, the reality is that life, at every stage, is one big process of discernment, filled with twists and turns, life-changing experiences, new revelations, detours, delays, and switchbacks. This was true for Jesus, and it remains true for each and every one of us on this journey called life. The Reverend Howard Thurman, in his 1980 baccalaureate address to the graduating class of Spelman College titled The Sound of the Genuine, described discernment in this way. There is something in every one of you that waits, listens for the genuine in yourself. And if you cannot hear it, you will never find whatever it is for which you are searching. And if you hear it and then do not follow it, it was better that you had never been born. You are the only you that has ever lived. Your idiom is the only idiom of its kind in all the existences. And if you cannot hear the sound of the genuine in you, you will all of your life spend your days on the ends of strings that somebody else pulls. When I speak of disruptions and detours in the midst of discerning one's life's calling, purpose, or sense of identity, I am not suggesting that they represent something negative or unfavorable that must be conquered or overcome. No, quite the contrary. The disruptions and detours to our well-ordered plans and schedules, like Jesus' extended stay in Jerusalem, serve as a reminder to us that whenever sparks of divinity are attempting to break through the ordinariness of our lives, whether it's the conception and birth of Jesus or our own processes of being pushed to grapple with God's purpose for our lives, these experiences of the inbreaking of the Spirit of God are by their very nature disruptive of business as usual. Jesus cannot return to Nazareth the same way he came. Something happened to Jesus in Jerusalem. Something arrested his attention and took precedence over his preset schedule. I believe that something was the voice of God, the sound of the genuine, calling Jesus to live into his divine destiny. Few things are more disorienting and disruptive to the plans that we have for our lives and the lives of our children and those that we care about than coming to terms with the fact that no matter the amount or quality of our formation, our preparation, or our education, our lives are never fully our own. As Christians called by God to lives of sacrifice and service, we all will find ourselves at some point, either in the position of Jesus, compelled by the Spirit to stay behind in our own proverbial temples of preparation and inspiration as our loved ones make the long journey back home, or we may find ourselves in the position of Joseph and Mary, searching for our son or daughter, our spouse or friend or colleague or parent, who is being led by the Spirit of God to remain in the temple, or in the wilderness, or some other place of discernment beyond our scheduled time for such experiences, while we have commenced our journey back to the ordinary and familiar rhythms of the places that we call home. Luke's gospel indicates that when Mary and Joseph realized that Jesus was not with them, after about a day's journey, they returned to Jerusalem, an unexpected yet divinely directed detour, where they found Jesus 3 days later in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. After a bewildering exchange about the necessity of Jesus being in his Father's house, the narrative indicates that Jesus returned with his parents to Nazareth, where he was obedient to them, and that his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus may have returned with his parents to Jerusalem, and I am sure that he was an obedient, diligent, and respectful child, as the scriptural record suggests. Yet, the disruptive seeds of discernment that were planted in Jesus' heart, mind, and soul during this brief extended stay in Nazareth, seeds of spiritual strength and seeds of divine destiny and seeds of prophetic passion, would emerge in full maturity after many years of being nurtured back in Nazareth at the family dinner table or playing and enjoying life among friends and siblings and in his broader social and communal context as Jesus made the transition from boyhood to manhood. Experiences of disruption and detour in the processes of discerning one's sense of call and spiritual identity are not unique to Jesus. Neither are they the exclusive purview of women and men who may be called to ordained ministry in our congregations and pulpits. Each of us has been called by God to make a distinctive contribution with our lives, and each of us has been endowed with unique gifts to use in service to these divine callings. With those gifts and callings also come disruptions and detours, as the presence of God and the will of God makes itself known in our lives. When God shows up, whether with a persistent whisper or a booming shout, whether through a traumatic life experience or an unshakable feeling that there is something more that you're supposed to be doing with your life, the ordinary rhythms of life are disrupted, and our predictable paths become unpredictable detours filled with myriad twists and turns. The rendering of this story in the New Revised Standard Version of the text concludes with Jesus' interrogative declaration to his parents, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Other versions read, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" I submit to you, fellow seekers of God's purpose and travelers of the way of Jesus, that this ought to be our ultimate North Star as we navigate the disruptions, detours, and delays in our own lives and the lives of those with whom we are in relationship. To be about the business of the one who formed us, the one who sustains us, and the one who gives our lives meaning and purpose. This is the mark that we ultimately press toward on our own journeys of discernment, to live like Jesus with divine intention and holy purpose. I leave you today with a fitting prayer from 20th century Trappist monk, mystic, and sage Thomas Merton, as recorded in the published volume Thoughts in Solitude. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you, and I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. As we continue on our own journeys of discernment through life's disruptions, detours, and delays, and as we navigate our own plan-changing and schedule-altering experiences, let us make sure that, like Jesus, we are truly committed to being about our Father's business.
Our day one preacher today was the Reverend Ernest Brooks, president of the Academy of Preachers based in Lexington, Kentucky. For a free printed transcript of his message for the first Sunday after Christmas, Disruptions, Detours, and Discernment, call us toll free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week, we're thrilled to start a brand new year of Day One broadcasts with the Reverend Dr. Thomas G. Long. Tom is Bandy Professor of Preaching Emeritus at Candler School of Theology at Emory University. You won't want to miss his challenging sermon for Epiphany Sunday. It's entitled The Wrong Town at the Wrong Time. Be sure to tune in for the next Day One. This is Sherry Miller. Day One has been shining the light of God's love for more than 73 years. Through wars, cultural earthquakes, economic fears, and political crises, the Day One radio program and podcast bring you and countless others the light of hope that God offers us in the Bible. If you've been blessed by the Day One ministry, please send a year-end gift of support. We truly count on your support at this time of year. You can mail your gift to Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. That's 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Or call us at 1-888-411-DAY1. Or give securely online at dayone.org. Your gift can help Day One do its part in sharing God's light with those still in the darkness. Thank you for your prayers and your generosity. Now, Ernest Brooks offers some final reflections on today's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
Ernest, this is a fascinating account from Luke chapter 2 about the young Jesus, and it's really pretty much the only story we have about him between his birth and the beginning of his ministry. And you approached it in a way that I hadn't really thought about before, that Mary and Joseph's experience with the idealistically independent and creatively curious Jesus, as you described him, is a window into the disruptions and detours that are part of the process that we've come to know as discernment. Would you say more about what discernment means, what that process involves, not just for people called to ordain ministry, but for each one of us who follow Jesus?
Sure. Discernment, as I try to unpack in this sermon, is really the process of us discovering our life's purpose, mm-hmm. our identity, Who are we? What are we being called to do? How do our lives line up with the will of God? And this is a lifelong process. We often think of this process as happening during childhood and young adulthood, as young people are preparing for high school or thinking about where to go to college or what they're going to major in. But increasingly, we understand this process of discernment to be a lifelong process. It often revolves around vocation or occupation. What will I do with my life? Does my career fulfill me? Does it give me purpose? But we also expand that conversation to understand that discernment about one's purpose is not just limited to what one does professionally. It's also how we show up in the world, what type of people we want to be, what type of impact we want to leave on the world, what type of ministries we want to have, lay or ordained. And so all of these questions form this perpetual life journey that we call the journey of discernment.
And this week you'll be with 150 young people on this path. What do you hope happens for them in terms of their spiritual discernment at the National Festival of Young Preachers, especially if they've faced disruptions and detours to get there?
One of the things I hope that the young people at the National Festival of Young Preachers will realize and come to an awareness of in their experience together is that we all face these disruptions and detours in our journeys of discernment, that there is no such thing as a straight line to professional success or ministerial certainty, that everyone's journey is filled with twists and turns and happenstance and grace-filled invitations that were unexpected. And so I'm hoping that in their relationships and conversations that they will find some peace and comfort in knowing that they're not alone on this journey, and that also they'll be able to find mentors and models of people who have gone this journey before them. Not that they will follow their journey in lockstep, but that it will give them a window into possibilities for them, no matter the many directions they may choose to go in.
Ernest, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days as we enter a new year?
I hope that they will keep in mind that each new year is filled with new possibilities and new opportunities, that not everything will go according to plan, that sometimes we may have to double back and pick up a Jesus who has stayed behind in the temple, or we may have to reevaluate our plans to do a certain thing or to go a certain place. But in the end, if God is with us, then all will be well and all will be blessed.
Amen. Ernest Brooks, thank you for being with us, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you as well, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.